Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Say my name.
Mike Florio.
Get the name right. That's all that matters. Spell my name right or say my name properly.
Pro Football Talk and NBC Sports.
Hearing Florio writing articles about it.
NFL Insider.
Take a spin around the league. We bring in Pro Football Talk's Mike Florio.
Mike Florio.
My name is my name.
With Bernstein and McKnight on 670 The Score.
Let's talk some football with Mike Florio. He is on Twitter at Pro Football Talk. He is Pro Football Talk. He's on NBC Sports. He's on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Alpamonte Ford, over 500 new and used vehicles to choose from. So we had a lovely time last week, Mike. And then we turn on the TV and there you are in that preposterous football uniform. You should have worn that to come hang out with us.
Preposterous? Wait, my wife texted me, "What a couple of dorks."
And I know
which one is the bigger dork, she said.
How dare she call Al and Chris that just because of those weird suits they wear.
Hey, at least we didn't have to wear those. I don't know how that look would go over for me.
So where are we with Antonio Brown right now? Because now it gets really complicated when we start factoring in the bounds or lack thereof for the NFL's personal conduct policy.
Well, this gets very delicate for Antonio Brown because, as we know, players can be suspended under the personal conduct policy even if they've never been arrested or charged. All it takes is an incident that prompts the NFL to investigate. The statement that was issued by the Patriots last night makes it clear that the NFL will investigate. How quickly will the NFL move? One of the big problems with the NFL's in-house justice system, you can't compel non-employees of teams or the league office to cooperate. In this case, Brittany Taylor, the woman who has sued Antonio Brown in her own name, no Jane Doe status, Brittany Taylor versus Antonio Brown, her lawyers have said she's willing to cooperate. Very easy to set up a meeting. The lawsuit is online. You call the lawyers. You say, when can she meet? Where does she want to meet? Let's do this. And added to that is the specter of the commissioner exempt list. The Washington Post already has reported that the NFL will give serious consideration to using that with Brown, which means somebody from the league office told someone from the Washington Post that with the idea that it would be reported, so we all know it's coming, so we're not shocked when it happens. And it won't surprise me if it happens because the commissioner has very broad power to put a player on paid leave. All the commissioner has to conclude is that the player may have violated the policy as it relates to crimes like sexual assault and rape. And if he thinks he may have violated it based upon their initial investigation, he can be placed on paid leave until the full investigation ends. And I think that's the next thing to watch. Will that be the next step? Will the commissioner put Antonio Brown on the commissioner exempt list as soon as this week? So it's not yet again Antonio Brown co-opting the 100th season of the NFL, this time around with a subject matter far darker than the relatively frivolous stuff we dealt with last weekend.
So, Mike, as I'm reading about this and seeing that statement that you mentioned from the Patriots, every time we talk about cases like this, we talk about Goodell's power, the league's power, and their choices and how they look and everything like that. But as a franchise, it's really this system is a dream for the franchise, isn't it? Because the Patriots have released that statement and they don't have to do anything else. Nothing.
Yeah, but you have to wonder, if they had known about the lawsuit, would they have touched this guy? And you have to wonder, if there were criminal charges, not civil charges, would they release him anyway? And I think they're probably watching this very carefully, and they're going to make a decision based upon what the league finds. And then there's that lingering aftershock of Deflategate, where the Patriots chose not to believe anything the league contended. So will the Patriots accept the outcome of the investigation if they have information that they believe contradicts whatever the league decides? So this could go sideways for everyone, including the Patriots, but it also could prompt the Patriots to decide fairly quickly to cut bait on Antonio Brown. And then on top of it, he's still got to show up and work with all of this hovering over him. How much more pressure does this add to a guy who's already down to his last chance and knows he needs to comply with the Patriot way? Does it make him more likely to comply? Does it make him more likely to blow a gasket? What does it do with Antonio Brown? Because it definitely changes the vibe as he walks into the facility for today's practice than what it would have been yesterday.
You know, the Patriots are comfortable with their reputation as we're a football team. We employ people and whatever. That's where I was going in terms of like their responsibility here. They don't necessarily have a lot of responsibility. Now in terms of how it looks and stuff, they could decide whether they care or not. By the way, was this going anywhere, this idea that they were involved with Antonio Brown engineering his exit from the Raiders, did that have any traction at all that the Patriots were involved with that?
I think it's a legitimate source of speculation, but I don't think it was going anywhere because, number one, the Raiders were not demanding any type of remedy or relief from the NFL. And the NFL, I think, is not particularly inclined to gratuitously reach out and identify spots where they can tell the world, we've got a corrupt organization, we've got a cheater. You know, they do it from time to time when they want to, but they try not to go to that well too often, because if you go to that well too often, eventually Congress is going to say, man, the NFL's got a lot of corrupt franchises, maybe we should do something about it. So I don't think they like to peel that back and let the world know that pretty much every team violates the rules one way or the other, whether it relates to tampering, deals being done behind the scenes. It happens all the time. And unless it's egregious, the NFL, I think, is going to look the other way because it doesn't want to have to start going down that rabbit hole.
Compare and contrast the situations of two big city teams here where the Bears lay an egg on national TV in a way that starts to undermine some trust that had been built up here, and that Bears fans thought it couldn't happen quite like that. They could lose a game, but it wasn't supposed to look like that. Meanwhile, the Jets take a 16-0 lead and lose to the Bills. And then, of course, we get the joy of all of the tabloid front page or back pages and the headlines and all the fun that they have. Who's closer to being in crisis?
Well, it's all relative, right? The bar is higher for the Bears, so I'd say they're closer to being in crisis. What did we really expect from the Jets? And if the Jets didn't have Kari Vedvik, and the Bears should be very happy.
Bears wanted him.
Yeah. Be glad you didn't get him because, well, you can get him now if you want him. He was cut yesterday by the Jets. But if Kari Vedvik can make his kicks, the Jets win that game. So, you know, they forced four turnovers. They didn't do as much on offense as they needed to. But if you make your kicks, you win that game. So I think for the Bears, it's closer to crisis because 3 points at home, opening night of the season, Packers, the team that comes in and delivers that defeat. I think that the Bears are the ones who most desperately between the two need to turn this thing around quickly. And then, you know, there were the Broncos Monday night, not looking all that good against the Raiders, and maybe there's a better vibe now as the Bears reunite with Vic Fangio in week two, that maybe it's going to help the Bears more to know Fangio than it helps Fangio to know the Bears.
Were you surprised that the Broncos showed up like that? Because that also didn't look quite prepared or comfortable or like a Vic Fangio defense, frankly.
No sacks for Von Miller or Bradley Chubb. No sacks for anybody against an Oakland offensive line that was very suspect. They moved Trent Brown to right tackle, the position at which he stunk at with the 49ers before he was shipped to New England and became a great left tackle. Richie Incognito's suspended. I was stunned that the Raiders won that game after everything they went through. You know, you can criticize John Gruden all you want, and it's fun to do it, for me at least. Huh. But he pulled it together, right? I mean, think of the distraction. 2 days before the game, you're pushing Antonio Brown out the door, and you've got to refocus your team. He did it, and he had those guys ready to play, and I got to give him credit. And you got to wonder whether at some level there was, maybe from the Broncos' perspective, kind of a belief that, you know, this one's going to be an easy W because the Raiders are in disarray, and they quickly found out the Raiders aren't in disarray.
Lamar Jackson being thought of as for real, the Ravens offense being thought of as for real. I think what do you have, 6 rushing yards, and he walked into the post-game press conference and said, not bad for a running back. That was some fun. We've seen stuff that looks like this before, though.
Well, and here's the thing. The Dolphins came out with a defensive approach that was aimed at taking away Lamar Jackson, the runner. And as Jackson torched them over and over and over again, they didn't adjust. It's like walking up to the bully and saying, punch me in the face, I dare you. And he punches you in the face. You get back up and you go up to him again, you say, I dare you to punch me in the face. And he punches you in the face. I mean, the Dolphins kept daring Lamar Jackson to burn them through the air, so he kept doing it. And 59-10, look, in the NFL, That's an impressive score. I don't care who the opponent is. But again, it's the Dolphins, who by all appearances are in full season NBA trust the process tank mode. So let's see how it holds up against teams that aren't, you know, taking a step back in the hopes of taking a step forward next year, and teams that are at least willing to try to mix it up a little bit to force Lamar Jackson to do something other than the thing that he's doing so well, like he was on Sunday.
Hey, Mike, do NFL teams need general managers, or have the Houston Texans revolutionized the game?
I think it's probably useful to have a general manager. I mean, Laremy Tunsil did not look like a guy who was worth what they gave up to get him. Now, Kenny Stills, who was hardly an add-on to that package, had that incredible catch, and I feel bad for Deshaun Watson. Deshaun Watson is an amazing player. I said this yesterday. He plays every down like he's a guy who's late for a plane. Like, he's got that urgency. Like, I've got to make it all happen right now. And I think when the game's on the line, that made it easier for him to get down the field way too fast. But yeah, not having a GM, I think, is a problem for the Houston Texans. And we'll see how it hovers over the rest of their season as they have some opportunities to get fleeced again. Maybe they can give more draft picks to the Miami Dolphins as the Dolphins try to unload some of the guys who don't want to be there.
They don't have any firsts. They don't have any seconds in the next 2 years. They're paying $7 million of Jadeveon Clowney's money.
And now they're paying the balance of a $7.5 million guaranteed salary to Aaron Colvin. They cut him yesterday.
What did you think of Kyler Murray's performance? It's sort of that weird game and a weird outcome. And even though the overall numbers weren't great, he did make a couple throws that looked like big boy throws.
Hey, down 24-6, and back they came. And we had an eye on that game because we were getting ready for Football Night in America, and we were in the middle of the show. And after every segment, I'd walk over and watch the game. And there's just something about Kyler Murray. Even though there are other quarterbacks that are 5'10", like Russell Wilson and Drew Brees, he looks so small. He looks little. He looks like he's your son.
And he's not 5'10".
I was with him in Atlanta at the Super Bowl the week of the game when we take our show on the road, and Russell Wilson about 2 hours apart, and there is a significant difference in size, right, in bulk, in frame, and he's got short little arms, but it's fun to watch. And to lead that team back, and I think there were real conditioning differences between the Cardinals and the Lions, and Murray himself said the Lions got tired down the stretch. It's just a shame they didn't pull off the victory. And if somebody had told Tremaine Brock that it's important to not catch the football with your face, he would have intercepted Matthew Stafford, and they would have been in position for a field goal to win the game at the very end of overtime.
Did you have any numbers regarding actual attendance and no-shows?
There were a few empty stadiums.
Yeah.
And the blackout rules have changed.
Yeah, there were a lot of, on Twitter, a lot of people sending out pictures saying, look, this is what it looks like. We're midway through the second quarter. And it wasn't just one venue. Is this something that the league should be concerned about?
Well, you need to be concerned about it because whether it's no-shows or whether it's unsold tickets, I mean, no-show, you still lose a lot of money because people aren't there to pay way too much for food and drink and buy merchandise and whatnot. So it definitely needs to be a concern. And they love how that full stadium looks when the game is televised nationally or locally. And, you know, I thought of this yesterday because Lynn Swann stepping down at USC reminded me that about 5 years ago,
he was fired.
Well, whatever it is.
Yeah.
But he was involved in this goofy campaign by the NFL to support the blackout rule. And there was this, the boogeyman of pay TV providers want to be able to charge you to watch games and take them off free TV. It was this goofy thing. It was the death spiral of the blackout policy. And eventually the NFL said, hey, you know what? We're suspending this thing and it's gone forever. And I don't think it's ever coming back, but I don't know how much it ever worked. But the bottom line is, yeah, it's not easy to fill a stadium, especially when you've got teams that, like the Dolphins, they're down big early. Who's going to hang around and watch the rest of that? It's like hitting the quit button on Madden. You're going to get the hell out of there and go do something productive with your afternoon.
Mike Florio, thank you as always.
All right, see you guys.
That is Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.